Well, here we are. Welcome to Disciples Bible Study. I am very excited about this new study, and we're doing a test run on the book of Philippians, which we'll get to later. But as we begin, I would like to repeat the words we often read in the Old Testament prophets. They often cried out to the people and said, "Hear the word of the Lord today. Hear the word of the Lord." They were crying out. Their heart cry was to the people and urging them to listen to what God is saying to us today, to receive and respond to Him. And I do believe that God is speaking to us today and every day, and that we need to prepare our hearts to hear Him. In my first workbook, we call Cross Bible Study, we help people to learn how to meditate on the scriptures, to feed themselves on the word of God. And there are four phases of meditation we talk about. The first one is called Listen to Jesus. What this means is that when we come to the word of God, we're not coming just to a book about history or philosophy or like a newspaper or something we're reading just out of our interest and analyzing with our intellect. But we're coming to a person. We're coming to God Himself. And so we need to prepare our hearts and our minds to hear what He's trying to say. I love the verse in Luke chapter 24, verse 45. It says that Jesus was explaining the scriptures to the disciples after the resurrection. And it says that He opened their mind so that they could understand the scriptures. And I want to urge you to ask Him to open your mind and open our minds every time we open the Bible to hear Him and to respond to Him. Also, Jesus said that He would send us the Holy Spirit from the Father, and He would teach us all things and remind us of everything that He said to us. So when we read the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is active, and without His help, we can't really understand the Scriptures or what He's saying to us. So every day I do this when I read the Bible, and very simply I pray, and I want to pray right now as we begin. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You've given us this whole Bible to teach us, to show us Your ways, and to reveal Your love and Your person to us. And I pray now as we begin that every day You would soften our hearts and teach us by Your Spirit, open our eyes, open our heart. And Lord, we're hungry for You. We're hungry for Your words. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us how to honor You as we come to the Scriptures each day. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of His word today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Disciples Bible Study is intended to help people grow as disciples and to make disciples. And so we're really focusing and on disciple making, which is the Great Commission. And there's a lot of teaching and almost endless volume of information about every book in the Bible available on the internet. But oftentimes it focuses on content and understanding just in our minds, but our purpose is to actually help people grow practically, and as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that God has given us His Word, the inspired Word of God, to equip every believer, the servant of God, for every good work. And so the purpose isn't simply to feed, but to equip people to be able to function in the work that God has given each one of us to do and to be fruitful. And I believe that this is simple, doable, and a systematic way to study the Bible that will work for ordinary people. So we are asking you to do four things in this study, a Disciples Bible Study. First of all, read, write, share, and listen. So each week we'll do one chapter, beginning with Philippians 1, and during that week we want you to read that chapter every day of the week. So as we begin Philippians chapter 1 in April, please read chapter 1, Philippians 1, every day. That won't take so long. And as you read, you might want to underline key passages. And I always circle or write in the margin of my Bible the verses that I want to memorize or that I think are key verses that sort of summarize the point of the chapter. A key verse is any verse that you think is really important. So after you read, it's very important to write down your thoughts, observations, reflections, questions. So have a notebook or computer available. And also, we will provide meditation questions for each passage that we study. And so writing really helps us to clarify our thoughts and identify what the Bible's saying. And also, we want to ask, what is God saying to me from this passage? And we also want to focus on trusting and obeying Jesus and think of how do we obey Jesus from each passage that we study. So questions are a very important part of meditation. And if you answer two or three of the meditation questions we provide in a week, you'll be able to cover them all. Again, I think it's very doable. And so after you have read and thought and written and studied, also it's important to write a prayer every day. That's a very good way to respond to God. But then the third part of our study is to share. And please don't skip this part of it. Sharing with one another is really important, and I believe it's that God wants us to share our hearts and our thoughts, especially about the Scripture, to process and understand and apply the Word of God to our lives. So I'm asking you to share, if possible, every day with your group of two or three. It's not wrong to try to do this in a small group, but I urge you to do it with one other person or possibly two other people, because it's much easier to connect with each other and to meet together sometimes and to be open and to share our hearts with one another. So I know everyone's thinking, well, it's impossible to meet every day. Yes, but we have technology today. We can call, FaceTime, Zoom, or also just send a text message. Or very good way to do this is to send an audio file. Just use WhatsApp or many other resources available and just talk into your phone and share what God said to you or what you learned. And this is a very powerful way to share with one another. But I promise you that if you do this sharing in a group of two or three, it will multiply and magnify the impact of the Word of God in your life. And then lastly is to listen. And so I will provide audio commentary on every passage we go through. This first recording will be a short introduction to DBS, Disciples Bible Study, and also an introduction to the book of Philippians. And so read, write, share, and listen. This is what we're urging everyone to do in Disciples Bible Study. So now I'm going to give you a brief introduction to the Paul's letter to the Philippians. I also will send a PDF file for you to read, which contains most of the things that I'm going to say. But the city of Philippi was named after King Philip II of Macedonia in 350 BC. He was the father of Alexander the Great. Philippi became a colony of Rome in 42 BC, and it enjoyed great political and freedom and economic prosperity. It was located on the main road connecting the eastern provinces with Rome. And so the people of Philippi were Roman citizens and had full rights as Roman citizens, including exemption from taxes, which would be nice. and Roman culture was dominant. So we have a lot of information about how the church in Philippi was established. The 16th chapter of Acts gives a lot of details about what happened. So Paul and his band eventually made their way to Philippi, but it's quite interesting what happened. They thought they were supposed to go to one area, and it says that the Holy Spirit stopped them from going there. And then they prayed about it, and they were going to go to another place. They tried to go to a place called Bithynia, and I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly. But it says in Acts 16:7, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go. And so that evening, it says in verse 9, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, saying, "Come to Macedonia and help us." So after Paul saw this vision, they concluded that was God's leading. And we see by how the Holy Spirit worked to establish the church, it was certainly was his leading. So when they got to Philippi, and by the way, Macedonia now is a small country of about 2 million people, which is located north of Greece. It's called North Macedonia. And there's some interesting things about how they got their name. But in the first century, it was a quite large area, much larger than it is today, and was like a province of Rome. And it included Greece and down into modern-day Turkey. I've been to Macedonia, the present-day Macedonia, several times and have done some ministry there. But Paul and his band arrived in Philippi, and they on the Sabbath day, they went outside the city to the river where they expected to find a place of prayer. And it's likely that there was not a synagogue in the city of Philippi, probably not that many Jewish people. If there were 10 Jewish men in a city, they could form a synagogue. If they didn't have a synagogue, it was sort of common knowledge that they would go to the river and pray together and share the scriptures together. So Paul and his band, which included Timothy and Silas and Luke and probably others, went down to the river, and there was a woman there named Lydia who was a businesswoman, and it says that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she begged them to come and stay at her house. So she and her whole household became believers, and Paul's team stayed with her. Well, one of the things that happened was as they went around sharing the gospel in Philippi, there was a demonized girl that came, followed after them, and would scream out, "These men are servants of the Most High God." And after a while, Paul realized she was demonized and commanded the spirit to leave her. "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave her." And immediately the spirit left her. The girl's handlers or owners were very angry because this demonized girl used her spiritual power to do fortune-telling, and they were making money off of her, so they were very angry when she was no longer able to do this, and they realized their source of income was gone. So they got Paul and Silas and put them in jail, and we all know this story. I think they had been beaten and flogged and thrown into prison, and they were chained, and about midnight, in the jail, Paul and Silas were worshiping, praying, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening, and there was suddenly a great earthquake, and the prison was shaken, and the doors flew open, the chains came loose. The jailer woke up and saw the open doors, and thought that the prisoners had all left and was going to kill himself because he was afraid of what the Romans would do to him. But Paul said to him, "We're all here. Don't worry. Don't harm yourself." And the jailer came in and turned on the lights or brought in candles or something and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And this is the question people everywhere want to know. What must I do to be saved? And Paul replied in verse 31, very simple and powerful words, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all his house, and that night they all believed, his whole family and household, and they were baptized that night. So we see that Lydia came to Christ, and presumably the demonized woman that had been delivered came to Christ, and then this jailer and his family and those connected with his household. And so this was very clear leading and powerful working of the Holy Spirit to start this church in Philippi. Most scholars think that Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians about 10 or 11 years after they'd started the church in Philippi. So this would have been about AD 61 or 62. And he was in prison again. And we can read how he was arrested in the book of Acts, beginning about chapter 21. And he was put in prison in Caesarea for a while and took a harrowing trip to Rome. He was taken there to stand trial before the emperor. Well, the people in Philippi were very close to Paul. They were his disciples, and I'm going to talk a lot more about that. But they were worried about him and wanted to know what happened. So they sent one of their members, a fellow named Epaphroditus, probably not pronouncing it right again, but he brought a letter to Paul from them, and Paul wanted to thank, and they also sent some money for his support. Paul wanted to thank them and to encourage them in the Lord. So he sent this letter back to them through Epaphroditus. And this letter reflects Paul's love and care for his disciples, and he really wanted to encourage them and build them up in Christ. So I'll give you the big picture of each chapter. The chapter one is Christ, our life. Paul said in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Christ is our life. Chapter two, Christ is our example. He said in verse 5 of chapter 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Another translation says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So Christ is our model and our example. Chapter 3, Christ is our goal. In verse 7 of chapter 3, Paul said, whatever was profit for me, now I consider loss for the sake of Christ. He was focused completely on knowing Christ and serving him. And then finally, chapter 4, Christ is our strength and our peace. Verse 13, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. And so there are many themes in Philippians, especially joy and rejoicing, fellowship, humility, and unity. But the main theme is Jesus himself. The word joy comes up about 19 times in Philippians, but the name of Christ comes up about 40 times. Another interesting characteristic of this letter is that there are no quotations from the Old Testament. And it could be that the church is made up primarily of Gentiles, since it doesn't seem like there were that many Jews in the city. So they would not have been familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. So now we will move on to study Philippians chapter 1.